Final hour of the show. All guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. A little bit later this hour, I'll be giving away two tickets for the Kings opener against the Jazz a week from tonight. Let's get to some phone calls at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140, and it is John. Hello, John.
Hello, Grant. Hello, Doug. How are you?
What's happening?
Hey, am I on the Fire Wings hotline?
You sure are.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, I want to talk to you about the A's and the Yankees, really. Before the A's played the Yankees, you talked about how evenly matched they were and how the Yankees were just maybe slightly better. And then the Yankees beat the A's, and then you come on the radio, talk about how successful the A's season was and how phenomenal it was. And now the Yankees get eliminated, the team that was just very slightly better than the A's, and then you say their season was not successful.
It's not successful from a New York perspective because the media and the fans in New York last year saw this team with a different manager go to a seventh game in the American League Championship Series. So they add the MVP from the National League, they change managers, and they don't make it out of the divisional series. That is not a successful season for the Yankees.
So then the A season was not as successful because I expected them to win. A lot of the fans expected them
nobody
to win.
Nobody expected the A's to win. When the season started, nobody expected.
Nobody outside of the A's organization or their fans expected to win, but their fans and the players certainly did.
I can tell you this right now. There's nobody within the A's organization that thought their team was going to win 97 games this year. Nobody.
But when they got to the wild card game, they sure did expect.
Of course they did. Yeah, of course they did. And I thought it was somewhat of a toss up game. I said on the radio when I was in New York that I gave a slight edge to the Yankees. And you know what? I mean, they ended up winning the game 7-3 or 7-2. But the bottom line is the A's had a very, very successful season based on number one expectations, based on payrolls, based on everything else. The A's had a very successful season. The expectations for the Oakland A's and the New York Yankees are different.
Okay, so as A's fans for next year, we should just expect what? Maybe winning a wild card game, and that would be super successful.
Hey, you know what, John? You can do whatever. Hey, John. You know what? I'm sorry that you can't deal with common sense. You're not able to pick up what is absolute fact and common sense. The expectations for the Oakland A's and the New York Yankees are different for one very reason. The Yankees have one of the very highest payrolls in baseball. The A's have the lowest payroll in baseball. So therefore, the expectations are higher in New York than they are in Oakland. You can call the A season a disappointment if you want. You can call it a success if you want. I'm telling you that in New York today, nobody is on the radio in New York or writing in the New York Daily News or the New York Post saying the Yankees had a successful season. That's not happening in New York. Now, I don't know what you want to talk about, but I'm just giving you the facts.
I'll tell you what I want to talk about. I want to talk about a whole bunch of people being sued.
Oh, my God. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. All right, let's get to Anesh. Hello, Anesh. How are you?
Hey, Grant. I'm doing good, man. Yourself?
I'm well. What can we do for you, Anesh?
Hey, brother. I had a question about Ben McLemore. I kind of agreed to what you said when he first came back to the Kings, that he wouldn't possibly be in a jersey.
Right.
And, kind of looks like he is, so I just kind of see your take on that.
Well, I think had Bogdanovich not injured his knee and not had surgery, I don't know if Ben would have been on the training camp roster, but when Bogdan hurt his knee, there was a roster spot, and you know Ben stayed on the team. So I think that's what happened. Now, do I know with 100% certainty that Ben would not have been on the roster had Bogdan not been hurt? No, I don't, but I believe that would be the case.
Gotcha. Okay, that totally makes sense.
Okay, anything else, bud?
Yeah. And I work at Teal. I'm in the pro shop on the weekends. If you ever come out there, you give me a holler, all right?
Hey, I appreciate that. I love Teal, Ben. I think it's an excellent golf course.
Definitely. I hope to see you at the Caddy Shack. I'm trying to get everybody to come out there.
Okay, man. Hey, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks,
all right,
buddy.
Take care.
I'd pay money to see you in a Caddy Shack outfit, Grant.
He didn't say anything about wearing a Caddy Shack outfit.
That's part of the deal.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, you know, they have.
Probably not going to happen.
They have the no pin hole. They have, you know. Have you watched the movie?
I love that movie.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
If Sacramento had planes that were bigger than basically, you know, model airplanes flying in and out of their airport, I would go play golf at that course all the time so I could watch all the big planes take off and land. But since that doesn't happen, then I don't go out there to play golf.
when we were playing, like, for the Kings, that was our course.
I love Teal Ben. Yeah. It's a great public golf course.
Yeah, after practice, really good. Shoot right
yeah,
over.
It's nice. Ah. It's a good golf course.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, it's good. Yep, absolutely.
See, a lot of money lost out there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Huh.
Not mine.
All right.
I wasn't bad.
But that's a good golf course.
Oh, I totally enjoyed it, man.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So what we need is, what's the big airplane? What is it?
The Airbus 380.
Hey, can you guys get us some Airbus 380s over there so we can get Grant out to Teal Ben?
Never going to happen. Not in our lifetime.
Runway's not big enough?
I don't believe it would be, and I don't know that for sure. I don't know that for sure, so I don't want to say that it's not big enough. But you know, I mean, it's big enough for 747. It's big enough for DC-10s that fly in on the FedEx.
Oh, we're looking for the big papa.
We're looking for an Airbus 380, which does require quite a bit of runway.
That's what you sit out at night and look up at?
Yeah, I do actually.
Do you?
Yep.
Hey, I was on one of those, wasn't I? Names?
Sure was, man.
Yeah.
Air France flies over with an Airbus 380. Then about 20 minutes later, you got British Airways with their Airbus 380. What?
The fact that you know this stuff just kills me. Man.
And everyone else is flying 777s now.
Oh.
You know, the Airbus 380 is actually in big-time jeopardy.
Why?
Because of the engines. The Emirates is the biggest customer for Airbus with the 380s. They have the largest fleet of Airbus 380s in the world, and they had just put a big order, but they're having a real problem with the Rolls-Royce engines and the cost and the manufacturing of that, and it may Emirates may end up scaling back greatly and or canceling their multi-billion dollar order.
Ooh.
Which would end the production of the Airbus 380.
Okay,
yeah.
So where do you go?
More. They're making Dreamliners, the 787s, the new long-range Airbus 350-1000s, which, by the way, this coming week, or is it next week, Singapore Airlines is going to start operating the longest flight in the world from Newark Airport to Singapore nonstop.
You're going to get on
the Airbus 350-1000.
You going to try it?
You know what? I would do it in a heartbeat.
In a New York heartbeat?
And they don't have any economy seats on it. It's all business class and premium economy on this flight.
Like
no coach seats, no economy, only business class and premium economy.
High rollers, Napier,
I'll
in the
it.
House. There you go. And that's our AVAs in 15 minutes for everyone out there on the Grant Napier Show.
All right, let's get to some more phone calls. Let's get to Vlas. What's up, Vlas?
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Napier?
I'm well. What can we do for
everything?
You?
Hey, Grant, I just wanted your take. I appreciate your takes all the time. What do you think, Le'Veon Bell coming back to the Steelers, I think, in week 8? How's that going to work out? What's your take on that, my
boy,
man?
Oh, boy. I think it's an unknown. I think it's a great question, and I'm not sure that anyone can answer that question definitively. Doug, what do you think?
I want to be in the locker room because I just want to see the vibe. You know what? The football players are a little different. They might just, you know, square it up real quick, throw a couple hands, and move on. That might be how they do it. But listen, whenever he reports, I think that he has no problem with walking in there and dealing with what he's dealing with.
Right. He's a man. Yeah. I agree with you.
Well, here's the other deal. If the Steelers are still in the race and he helps them win games.
Everything is put out the window.
Right.
Winning cures a lot, Napier. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You got that. Winning cures everything, huh, Grant? You got that right.
All right, man. Anything else?
That's it, my guys. You guys have a nice evening. I appreciate you guys.
All right, let's get to Derek. Hello, Derek.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Grant.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, so the question, do you think the NBA has a potential problem down the road with the idea of this constant super team thing? And with the issue, I get it, free agents want to go where they want to go, but when it starts coming to players under contract, you know, making up their own destinations, does the NBA have a potential problem down the road for markets like Milwaukee, Sacramento,
Portland?
Yes,
they do. In my opinion, it is a problem for the NBA looking down the road.
And I would say that probably in the next collective bargain agreement, whenever that happens, I don't know how you tweak that. I think that they probably give the teams that the players are at an even more – somehow give them more of an advantage and an incentive for them to stay in the market that they kind of created and made their bones in.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think, you know, it's a little bit different in the NFL, whether or not they're two contracts. But when you see it in the NBA and it's just it's disheartening. And to see what Jimmy Butler did today, and even on that report, I mean, he admitted that he did most of the stuff they said. It's disheartening for sure. And I would hate to see some of the players we come to love, you know, choose a different destination. And I guess just frustrated in general.
I'm with you 100%. Thank you very much. Dustin, you're next. Hello, Dustin.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. What's up?
Good. I have a question. I know we hate to compare decades, generations of ball, but right now with the way the West is so stacked right now, what is your take on how the 2002 Sacramento Kings would place? I know it's tough to compare different styles of play, but how do you think they would fit in? Are you guys thinking top three? I mean, you guys were the best team. You got gypped out of a title. We don't need to get into that. But where do you think that would stack up?
Yeah, I mean,
right
the
now?
Biggest problem is the three-point shot was not as prevalent when Doug played on those great teams as it is
you
today.
You mean we get to shoot more?
Yes.
I think no, we'd be just fine.
I know. I think you would, too. But what I'm saying is when you compare those errors, that's, to me, one of the big differences.
I think that we would do quite well, to be honest with you. I think that we have a deep bench. You could talk about Vlade and Webb and the pace. We played a faster pace without having to run. You know, we moved with purpose.
Yep.
The first time that you watched Golden State win, I was saying earlier, Andrew Bogut was the guy. Steve Kerr told me as much. They were using our stylistic approach of putting a guy at the high post and cutting off of him and what have you. I think we would, we would kick some major butt.
I agree with that.
That's my thought. I'm thinking because you, Bibby, Peja, Bobby, I mean, you could all shoot the three all the range. And then
no question.
Four as well. So I definitely.
Can you imagine Peja getting to shoot like 15 three-pointers in the game? And,
yeah, wow.
And you want him to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
He's happy someplace right now listening to me smiling.
Yeah.
I know he is.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. 339-1140. We'll be right back with your phone calls next. Grant Napier, Doug Christie, 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Let's get to Nate. Hello, Nate.
Gentlemen, how's it going?
What's up, Nate? We're well, thank you.
Hey, I want to talk about a few things. I'll start with Buddy Hield. I know when he first came in the league, he had a real difficult time handling the ball. And I still see that every now and then, and even more so, you know, his passing or lack thereof. If you remember last year, there were a few games that he, especially one that sticks out, where he just kind of, end of the game situation, was inbounding the ball and threw it right at the defender's hands. Is that something you attribute to? I mean, what is it because of low basketball IQ or just not starting basketball at an older age, later age? Or how do you, as a fan, how do I process that? How do I?
Well, part of it can be the difference in college and pro. And what I always say is in the pros, if you see the guy is open and then you try to pass it to him, it's too late. You're probably not, it's going to get stolen. It's going to get deflected. Something bad is going to happen. You have to read that. And that for some people, they have it initially. Some people, it takes time to develop that skill and some people never get it.
Yeah. Some it's like anything in life, you know, some people are good at certain things and not as good at others. And, for Buddy, dribbling, ball handling is not his strength, but that doesn't mean he can't be very successful in the league. He's already proven that. But to me, the less dribbling for Buddy is the better. And Doug has talked about, you know, moving without the ball and creating shots coming off curls. And I think with De'Aaron Fox on the floor and when Bogdanovich is on the floor, they have a great way of getting Buddy the ball in the right spot where he doesn't have to dribble it that much.
And if you watch the last game with Buddy, that's kind of against Hoffa. That's what happened. They found him in spots where he didn't have to put the ball down. He could just reach up in that beautiful stroke, knock it down. Then once you get going a little bit, now putting it on the floor, you got a little way about you, a little swagger. Maybe you serve a chance to be more successful.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, that's why you have different positions. Some guys are very good handling the ball. Other guys aren't. Some guys are great shooters. Others aren't. Some are great defensive players. And, you know, when you get everyone that can do it all, then you have LeBron James, you
Absolutely.
Know. But it's not, you know. But he has a lot of strengths and he has a lot of things that he does very, very, very well. And so he has to utilize his strengths.
Yeah, and that's what you want to do, and you want to learn for your teammates to learn how to play to your strengths. Then you play to your strengths. That's not saying that no one's going to be perfect. You're not going to be flawed a weakness or be absent of weakness. Right. But most times the scouting report tries to push you towards those things and you try to play away from them. Then the summertime and even during the regular season, you have the ability to work on them, but it takes time for those things to improve.
All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We are with you right up till the top of the hour. And then tomorrow, we are going to be at Golden One Center getting ready for the Kings and the Jazz. And I'm kind of looking forward to seeing the Jazz play because we'll see him again next Wednesday.
Yeah, watching and seeing how they go about, their business. I liked what I saw from the Jazz team. The other night, Grant, I watched Ricky Rubio. Looks a lot more aggressive. Now, he wasn't hitting shots, but that's something that we've come accustomed to. But sometimes he would be a little shy under the gun. Dante Exum is a guy who hurt his knee a couple years ago. He came back. Then he hurt his shoulder. Now he is fully back, and he looked to have really total control of the offense when he had the ball. This is a team that's deep, that understands how to play playoff basketball and is looking to really take that next step in the Western Conference this year.
Do you see them being a top four team in the West?
I don't know if top four. Let's see. So you got Golden State.
And Houston.
You got Houston. Who else would we put up at the top of the standings there?
Possibly Oklahoma City.
OKC. Now, they could get off to a rough start without Russell Westbrook, depending on if he's going to be healthy or not. Yeah, if they are taking that next step and they are who they are, I could see them being maybe a four seed. Yeah, I could see that because Derek Favors looks to have lost a little bit of weight, looks a little more mobile, and the bench has been bolstered with now Jay Crowder and Grayson Allen coming off the bench. That's really helping them.
All right, let's get to Keith on Sports 1140. What's up, Keith?
Hey, what's up, you guys, man? Thanks for the call, you guys. My question is about my Houston Rockets. Obviously, we took a step back defensively, or at least that's what the media says, with no Trevor Ariza. But we still have P.J. Tucker, Clint Capela, and Chris Paul. My question is, I don't see a team out west with a center who defends like Clint. And we still have pretty good guys on the perimeter with Chris and PJ. So I think we'd be okay defensively. My question is...
Yeah, don't forget you lost Bamute, too, who's an excellent defender.
Yeah, but he didn't play much Grant versus Golden State. So to me, that's not really a big deal, but it is, if that makes sense.
Okay.
My question is, after you get from Houston and Golden State, is there a gap between the third seed and the rest of the NBA? Because it seems like the media is just trying to push teams like L.A. and other teams close to the Rockets. And I just don't see it. I mean, I think Houston is clearly the next team after Golden State.
See, I don't want to speak for Doug, but I think the Rockets took a big step back this year. That's my opinion. I think they took a big step back. I don't think you lose.
Tell me why, Grant.
Because they lost two outstanding defensive players. And Trevor Ariza was perfect for them, and I just don't think they're as good. I don't think they're as good. I don't see them being as good as they were last year. That's my opinion.
So what team out west then defends – and has players who can defend and protect the rim like Clint does, other than maybe, I don't know.
Utah Jazz.
I mean, okay, but they don't score the way Houston does, Doug. I mean, you know, Jackson, like Houston is going to win like 45 games right there. I mean, I think
I think Houston is an elite team. I just think that they didn't realize, and we could be wrong, because I wasn't sure about the Chris Paul James Harden pairing. I don't think anybody was, that it was going to work as well as it worked. So losing Bamute and losing Trevor Ariza, sometimes it affects a team more than people know, because they're glue guys. They're guys that don't mind not getting shots, and they're just defending, and they knock down timely shots and things like that. You had a Marquise Chris that hasn't done anything in Phoenix. Michael Carter Williams. You got Eric Gordon, who sometimes is hurt. Gerald Green was a good pickup, I thought. But Carmelo Anthony doesn't give you anything defense. He gives you a lot on the offensive end. So this year, it's going to be more outscoring people than last year. You are more of a total team. Could that work? Yeah, it could work. I'm just going to have to wait and see. I think they win more than 45 games, definitely.
And my last question is the Lakers. I don't know who's going to be their consistent three-point shooting, but can a team out west, Grant, win consistently throughout the season without a consistent three-point shooting team, or no?
No, I don't think so. Not in this conference. I think that three-point shooting is paramount. I really do.
So who's their shooting? Because, again, to me, it acts like they got marksmanship, and they don't. So, I mean, in your eyes, I mean, who's their best shooter? I mean, Kuzma? I mean, I don't know.
I don't think their shooting is that bad. I mean, I'm with you that their point guards don't shoot the three, Rondo and Ball, and I think that could be an issue. I love what I've been seeing in the progress of Brandon Ingram. Doug and I were very impressed when we saw him the other day. You talked about Kuzma. We know LeBron. I mean, you know.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
I was just going to say, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
And the kid, Sri Mukailu. I mean, I know he's a rookie, but I would agree with you. There are guys that are going to have to prove that they can knock down shots. You make a valid point.
Did you guys see Jimmy Fredette versus Houston years ago?
I did.
That was great. Yep. Why is he not on NBA roster?
There's a big difference in playing in China and playing in the NBA. You can get that shot off in China. You can't get that shot off in the NBA.
Well, I can name about 50 guys, Doug, who can't get their shot off, you know, no better than Jimmy can. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, is it politics? I mean, the guy can play.
Nah, I don't think it's politics. I mean, he had the opportunity to knock it down. I mean, listen, also, okay. I will say this. Jimmer is kind of a tweener, meaning that who is he going to stick when he's out there on the floor? He can't really stick point guards. He's too small to stick two guards. Shooting isn't the problem. He can shoot the basketball. Getting your shot off at the NBA level is a difficult thing. It's not as easy as it looks.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me, you guys, voice my opinion, Grant, Doug. Thank you, guys, man. And, Doug, man, congrats on your new position.
Appreciate you.
Analyst, man. I think you do an awesome job, man. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
we'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHTK. Coming up this half hour, I will be giving away tickets for the Kings and Jazz opening night a week from tonight, October 17th. You can get more information at KHTK.com. We'll be doing that in just a little bit. But we want to get to some phone calls at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. And it is Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. How y'all doing today?
What's happening?
Hey, man. I just want to say I'm looking forward to this season, man. I don't know how many wins the Kings are going to have this year, but I know it's going to be a fun season with the young youth growing together and seeing Doug work with you this year. A new era of Kings basketball, man. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm excited about the season, man. A lot of people may not give us a shot, but you know what? Just to see this team grow, it's going to be fun as a fan to watch this team.
Well, nobody gave the Oakland A's a shot this year. Nobody gave the Vegas Golden Knights any chance last year, and they ended up going to the Stanley Cup Finals. You know what? The national media, they can think whatever they want. It only matters what the players in the Kings locker room think. That's all that matters, and that's the reality. Exactly. Doug knows this better than me, obviously. He's been on all kinds of different teams. And Doug, you told me this, you know, you never took the court not expecting to win.
Yeah, I did every single night. Now, that doesn't mean we were going to win. It didn't matter if we were playing Michael Jordan, Chicago Bulls. You go in with a game plan that says this: if you do these things, this is going to give you the best opportunity to win. Now, whether it works or not, that's something totally different. But that's your mindset going in. Never, ever are you thinking you're going to
lose. Hey, I'll tell you this. I guarantee you one thing, and I'm just going to pick this guy out, and then I'll pick out many others. If Harry Giles walked in here right now,
oh, he'd tell you winning every.
And
game.
He was listening to you. I wouldn't have to ask Harry if he thinks he's going to win every time he steps onto the floor.
Yeah, he's going. So, and to the caller's point, this is we feel you. We're with you. I'm excited to watch these guys grow and compete. They'll take some lumps, and I hope that they grow from it.
Well, thanks for the opportunity of the call, and go Kings! You guys are excited.
Appreciate
thank you. Again, I national forecasts are great. And if you want to get into that, that's fine. Every single thing I've seen on the Kings is horrible, negative, last place, blah, blah. But fine, that's great. Okay, now go out and prove everybody wrong.
Yeah, and it's got to be us versus the world mentality.
Yeah.
Everyone can say whatever they want. That's why you stay in the gym, you work hard, you help each other, you rebound for each other, you push each other. That's part of the competition part, Grant. If I go buddy ball on my teammate, I'm not helping him. I got to try to beat the hell out of him. That's what's going to make him get better. And a lot of the times your practices should be harder than your games are. That's just how it goes.
I mean, you know, people always say, well, you can't beat this team. Well, what happens if you play a team and collectively they're just not shooting the ball well on that night? You can beat anybody in the league.
We beat the Golden State Warriors twice last year.
Right.
Now, oh, well, they didn't play this person, that person. Well, KD, I remember, did play one of the games. Okay, that's not my fault. You play whoever in the hell you want to play.
Yeah.
We're going out. We're lacing them up. We're going to try to get a W. Hey, the lowly Raptors, the inaugural season, Grant, beat the 72-10 Chicago Bulls.
That's exactly right.
And they all played.
The whole team. Now, they were probably looking past us. They probably partied hard in Toronto. You know, Dennis Rodman, Scotty, okay. Mike. That's not my fault. We're coming out here to try to get a W, and we did.
Amen. Absolutely. Totally agree with that. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And you know what? If there's a guy in the locker room that thinks they're only going to win 20 games, goodbye.
Yeah.
I'd send them right out. Go bye. Bye. Get lost.
Yeah.
Because we don't want you.
And I'm not taking him to the airport, by the way.
You know what? I'm not either. They can walk.
No,
but I'm serious. If there is that person that exists in a locker room,
yeah,
then they don't need to be there.
They don't. There has to. Listen, I was telling our producer, Jay, during the break, a lot of times, Grant, when you think about it, me being where I'm from, making it to the NBA, that's impossible pretty much. It's like as a kid, you go, you, kid, you're going to make it to the NBA. You're like, get the hell out of here. Really? But it happened. So I have to have an undying belief in what I am and what I do to make it to that point. And the same thing goes now when you take the court every single night. That's just how you have to work. And if you're not cut that way, you're right. Beat it.
That's exactly right.
Yes, sir.
Give me the and again, this goes back to what you were saying about Jimmy Butler, and in a way, this is what he's trying to do. I don't like the way he's going about it.
Gotcha.
But you know, Dave Yeager needs to find the 8 to 10 guys that are going to play every game as if it's the last time they're ever going to be on the court.
Yep. And really, with the type of youth that the Kings have, they'll be able to shock some teams on some nights just with their athleticism, their youth and exuberance, getting up and down the floor, the fact that they should recover faster than some of these teams that might be a little bit older and things like that. And that's why I said when I was talking to Coach about defensive identity, Grant, the ability to pick up, not full court every time, but, oh, damn, hell with it, full court. Pick up, make some people uncomfortable and see if you can turn them over and get into the open court and get yourself easy buckets. Let your defense create your offense as opposed to putting the pressure on yourself to make 40-foot shots and 30-foot shots and things like that.
One thing that Dave Yeager did say, I wanted to get your take, that he was going to use Amon Shumpert the next two games. What could you see Amon Shumpert and his role with this team?
Amon, he's a dog. He gets after it, man. He's won a championship. First of all, as a wing player, whether it's the two or the three, he knows how to play defense. He's a highly, highly competitive guy. He talks a lot, meaning that on the defensive end, you're going to hear him chirping and helping each other and all those different things. I think that type of spirit that Amon Shumpert brings is exactly what you need in the locker room to create that competitive atmosphere.
Well, we know he can play defense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he gets after it. The only thing that's been his problem has been his health. And that's always the problem. If a guy can stay healthy or if he can't stay healthy. For the last few years, he wasn't healthy. That's why he wasn't productive.
Okay, I'm going to say if Amon Shumpert looks really good mm-hmm. in these two preseason games, mm-hmm. could you see him starting the season as the team's small forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's where a wake-up call comes for a guy like Justin Jackson. Look, we've slid you in there. You kind of, I don't want to say giving it because there was time, but not going against a guy like Amon Shumpert every day and earning your spot. Like, take it from him. Show me that you're my guy. And if that happens for Justin Jackson, because he has all the tools, Grant, to be a really good player, now he just has to get that animal and that will and desire every single night to really get after people.
From what I understand, he excels on a regular basis at practice, but you know that's not going to cut it. You got to do that in the games. And you know, it's like you got to be able to take your game from the practice range to the first tee.
Yeah, that popcorn starts popping. You got to be able to go out there and get down. And that's why I say, Grant, just depending on offense to dictate whether you play well is never going to be enough, because even KD misses shots, Steph misses shots.
Of course.
There's other ways that you can affect the game, and you have to find those.
All right. Again, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, we are with you for one more segment. Now, right now, you will have an opportunity, all right, to win tickets to the opener a week from tonight. The Kings taking on the Jazz October 17th. All right, all KHTK giveaways powered by RosevilleAutoMall.com. We're going to take the fifth caller at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Final segment straight ahead on Sports 1140. Final segment, Grant Napier, Doug Christie,
Sure.
Be interesting to see what the teams do tomorrow rotation-wise, considering that both these teams are going to be playing a week from Wednesday. We heard Dave Yeager on earlier. He's just looking to get better. I'm not sure what Quinn Snyder's job's going to be.
Well, looking at how Quinn was kind of working his guys in the other night, and I'm going to go back and look a little more at that game, you can tell he's trying to get a little bit of rotation and then probably trying to get some of his guys rest as well. It looked like his starter started the game. He had Ricky Rubio, Donovan Mitchell, Gobert, Joe Ingles, and I want to say it was – Derek Favors. I can't remember who that fifth guy was, Grant.
Who do you think is going to start out on Mitchell? Could it be an Amon Shumpert?
Yeah. I mean,
if Amon ends up starting, and I'm saying if.
Yeah.
Could he guard Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, you definitely put him on there because he's the type of guy that could physically could match the type of physicality. Now, athletically, I was watching Donovan shooting the passing lanes and stuff. Man, he looked good.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know what he can do offensively. They go through him. He shoots a three ball. He gets to the bucket. They depend on him for a lot. And then, obviously, Rudy Gobert with the anchor in the middle.
All right, all guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. The reason why I ask is, you know, to me, there are two big issues when you face Utah. One is Rudy Gobert, and you must be aware that you have a bona fide goalie near the basket, and he is going to alter and take away attempts near the basket.
I'm glad you brought that up, Grant, because as I was looking at the game, and that'll probably be one of my keys tomorrow, is – pace. He gets a little frustrated, Grant, when he can't, because he doesn't move up and down the floor as fast. So they try to make sure that defensively they like to get set in the half court set and things like that. If the Kings have the ability to catch them off guard, push the pace, quick pick and rolls before he can get set, they can take advantage of him not being at the basket. And they have to do that because he is a one-man wrecking crew on defense when he gets set and they get set defensively.
Yeah, and, you know, again, Ricky Rubio is hit or miss. I mean, we know his liability is shooting the basketball. He's got a very good basketball IQ.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be able to guard De'Aaron Fox.
No. Good luck with that one. And I don't think that you waste Donovan Mitchell on De'Aaron because athletically, Donovan, he could probably stay with him. Now, if this was a playoffs, now that's your cross-matching and those type of things. Joe Ingles either at small forward, I don't think that he matches up. So that's where – If you are Sacramento, I don't know that you want Dante Exum coming in because Dante, that would be an interesting matchup because he possesses some athleticism and length. I'd like to actually see that and see how De'Aaron goes about handling a bigger guy who's rangy and athletic.
All right. Again, Doug and I are going to be out there tomorrow getting ready for all the action. And then Doug and I will be doing the show on Friday from – the Motor Center in Portland as the Kings take on the Blazers.
Yes. It's always good to go to the Pacific Northwest. Wish it was Seattle and Portland, but it's just Portland and getting a look. Matter of fact, the game that I'm going to be watching again tonight is Utah versus the Portland Trail Blazers.
Right.
Yeah. So you get to see Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum and everything that they have.
All right. Carl, you're on with Grant and Doug. Go ahead. Hello? Hello? All right, he's gone.
Hello?
You know, again, you go back to matchups. In order for the Kings to beat the Jazz next Wednesday, obviously they're going to have to shoot the ball at a high percentage, particularly from three. And De'Aaron Fox is going to have to start off the year playing the way he did against the Lakers last week.
Yes, he's going to have to be highly aggressive. And they added another guy, too. Thabo Sefolosha.
Oh, boy.
And defensively,
yeah, he's
the
good
type of guy that they can. So you're right, Grant. That's why I say with this team, you may have the ability to, if you're able to stay in the game and you can get up and down the floor, you could put Rudy Gobert on the bench a little bit if you can get up and down the floor, get yourself some easy buckets early on for the Kings and don't put as much pressure on themselves to make shots. And after you see the ball go through the bucket a few times, then all of a sudden you start to let it fly from deep.
All right, we'll close the show with John. What's going on, John?
Grant, how are you?
What's up, man?
Oh, man, what a long day it has been. And I didn't hear the very beginning of what happened with Jimmy Butler. But, man, just a problem in the locker room like that? Is that what it is?
Well, it's a whole thing. He doesn't want to be there. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, I understand. And Wiggins, too. Is there something between those two or something?
Well, he thinks those guys are soft. That's basically what it boils down to.
Are they?
They are, yes, but that's the coach's
job. Okay, damn. Are they? You said yes. I kind of agree with you. But then again, Doug, I agree with you, too. Butler's got a big heart, man. He's got a lot of heart. I don't know if the three of them can quite get along.
Yeah, you know what? The interesting point, John, is that Tom Thibodeau brought in Jimmy Butler to do exactly what Jimmy Butler's doing. But the problem is these young guys who they've invested in, Karl Anthony Towns just signed a big extension, and so did Wiggins Andrew Wiggins a couple years ago. So they've invested so much in them, and Jimmy isn't signed yet. So which way are you going to go? It looks like they've gone with the youth, but now you got a coach and a player that he brought in. You mortgaged your future by shipping out Zach LaVine and Dunn and Lauri Markkanen. So I don't know what happens.
Yep. And the guy that I was talking about.
You talk about Zach LaVine, you know, we wanted him just like, you know, even two or three other teams. I know you mentioned two or three. Ten others would have taken him if he wasn't snatched up that quickly. Yeah. So it is just such – the market is so, so askew right now. We need to make sure and find out a way that all the large markets and the small markets can contend.
I like that, John. You've been wearing your helmet askew. I see how you did that. Well done.
Should I go buy a helmet?
I thought he mispronounced Vincent Askew's name. That's what I thought he would say.
You know who Vincent Askew is, John?
John. I think that I do, but I'm loading my gear right now, and I think I know who he is.
All right, man.
I'm not going to say it aloud, though.
We got to go. Buddy. All right, we are done. We'll be back at the arena tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Thanks, John. Doug, have a great night. And again, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, we'll be broadcasting before the Kings and the Jazz right here, Sports 1140 KHDK.